Hello, my name is Gary Naylor. For 12 years, I had a daily radio program called The Corners of Your Field, which I taught about the biblical responsibility of providing care for others in need. I was involved in several ways in helping provide that care for others, including feeding the homeless, helping start a mission in downtown Dallas, starting a ministry called Cars for Christ, which has given away hundreds of cars to the needy, helping start a drug and alcohol rehab program, and for several years working with those men, and finally, building and opening a 5,600-square-foot home on a 100-acre ranch for abandoned and abused women and children. Upon opening that home in 1994, our first family was a mother with five young girls. Little did I know that these would be the only ones who would come and live in that home. For in June of that same year, a dramatic change took place in my life. In fact, it was on June 11, 1994. I was standing in the kitchen at one end of the service island, visiting with my wife, daughter, and another lady. All of a sudden, without any provocation, a curious knowledge came to my understanding. With slow, deliberate, and methodical thought, I placed my hand on one end of the service island and told those ladies, what God performed at the beginning of the church, and thoughtfully I walked down to the other end of the island. I placed my hands upon it and completed the sentence, He will do again at the end. All of a sudden, I knew that what Yahweh did immediately following the day of Pentecost at the beginning of the church, He would repeat that work at the end. One week later, on June 18, while driving back to the ranch home, there was a nagging question in my mind. It was most puzzling to me. At the same time, I was writing a book on coverings, mainly about beards and head coverings, and all the laws of Yahweh dealing with that subject. One of the topics I was considering was the Nazirite vow. This part of the study soon proved to be one of the most important parts of the entire matter of coverings, directly relating to the kingdom of God. This book, titled Coverings, can be read in its entirety on the internet at our website at www.garynaylor.com. I'll give more information about this later. This issue of the Nazirite vow is a part of that book. But as I was driving home, there was something I just could not figure out. I'll try to explain what was going on inside of me. We know from the scriptures that the man is the image and the glory of God, while the woman is the glory of the man. Furthermore, we read that the woman's hair is her glory. Now here was my question. Why was it that Yahweh ordered that men have short hair, which is limited glory, and He gave the long hair to the woman, which is her glory? This made absolutely no sense to me. Consistent with all of creation, it seemed that the man, who was the image and glory of God, would have the long hair representative of that glory. And the woman, who was the glory of the man, would have short hair. The man was the one who was the glory of God, so why didn't He give him the long hair? I couldn't figure it out, and concluded that I'd have to go home and ask the ladies about this. But I'd barely come to that conclusion when suddenly Yahweh spoke the answer to me, not audibly, but this is what He told me. He said, because I'll not give my glory to the masculine body of Christ, but I'll give my glory to the feminine bride. I went into orbit. I mean, it blew me away for what He told me. I went home and told the ladies this amazing information. I knew then that what Yahweh would do with the body of Christ was exactly what He did in the garden with the original Adam. How did Adam get his bride? Quite simple. Yahweh put him to sleep. He opened his side, took out a rib, closed his side, and from the rib he fashioned him a bride. This bride was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, yet she was different, wonderfully different. Though she was from Adam, from the man, the masculine, she was also entirely separate from the man, different. She was the woman. She was Eve. The Spirit of God began to come on me, and he was with me in a most unique way for about a week and a half. I found that I could ask Yeshua anything, and he would tell me the answer. "Why didn't they break your bones?" I asked him. He told me, "Because I have the power of an indestructible life, and life is in the blood, and the source of blood is in the bones. So since my life is indestructible, they could not break my bones." Off I went into orbit again. And upon landing, I then asked him another question. "Why did they pierce your side?" And once again he answered me. He told me, "Because the side of the body of Christ will be pierced, and out from it will come the bride." Off into orbit I went again. This went on for several days, and in fact, over the next few years, many times I would come to the place of not understanding, not having the answer of a most puzzling question, and he would just tell me the answer. Let's talk for a minute about the body and the bride. If I was to ask you, who is the body of Christ, more than likely you'd say that you either don't know, or you'd say the body is the bride. You know, like two expressions of the same thing. You know, the mystery. But let me in fact point out a mystery to you regarding this. How can the body of Christ and the bride be the same if this bride comes out of the body? You know what I mean. How could the two be the same thing when clearly one comes out of the other, establishing an entirely different entity? No, I don't think anyone who really thinks about this could come to the conclusion that the two are one and the same. In fact, let's take this a bit further and see how totally off this would be. Yahweh has an interesting law that has to do with something being clean. I don't mean free of dirt, but spiritually clean. Now, most Christians think only of the blood of Yeshua when it comes to being clean. But you'll see there's something else here that really has not been considered. It has to do with what Yahweh specifically calls being clean, something acceptable to him. In Leviticus 11, we read that any mammal was not clean unless it passed the test of 2 points. It had to both chew the cud and split the hoof. If it didn't do both, it wasn't clean. We'll only note here this matter of splitting the hoof and see how essential this is to our understanding of Yahweh. To begin with, when Adam was in the garden alone, did mankind pass the test of being clean? Didn't Yahweh say, "It is not good for the man to be alone"? Why? Well, one important thing was, as long as the man was alone in the garden, mankind did not split the hoof. In other words, the man alone would have been like a horse or a camel when it came to the design of mankind being not split. Therefore, Yahweh had to split the hoof of mankind. He had to take the man and, as it says in the Bible, make him a helper that is corresponding to him. Isn't that exactly what a split hoof is? It is a hoof with another side that is corresponding to it. In other words, it's a male-female picture. So, no, it was not good for the man to be alone. mankind had to be split, male and female, in order for mankind to become clean, even in order for mankind to bring forth offspring. And Adam and Eve are not the only ones in the garden that attest to this. How many trees did Yahweh plant in the middle of the garden? Again, there were, of course, two, one for each split hoof. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and one was the tree of life. Here again, we see the male-female aspect. The male is seen as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, while the female is seen as the tree of life. In fact, Eve's name means exactly what the tree is called. Eve means life or living. So once again, we see the vital importance of two parts. These two parts are essential for something to become clean or acceptable to Yahweh. Knowing this, we can see the necessity that the kingdom of God, here on earth, given to man by Yeshua, must equally be a two-part work. It too, even as revealed here in creation, must split the hoof. In order for the kingdom of God to be clean, it must likewise be two separate works. It can't be just one. What are these two works? Just like we see in creation, they are the body of Christ work and the bride work. They are the tree of the knowledge of good and evil work, and they are the tree of life work. They are the male, and they are the female, without which there would never be any offspring. I hope you see by now that it is completely essential that the kingdom of God be a two-part work. This being the case, then one must next ask the question as to what are these two separate works. First, though, don't let it escape your attention that these two works are exactly that. Just like Adam and Eve had two clearly separate identities, just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life had two clearly separate identities, so there must be two clearly separate identities between this masculine body and the feminine bride. And I mean two separate identities. If they're not, then they're like some of these people walking about that you're not quite certain what they are. No, Yahweh makes clear and intended differences. And it is highly misleading to now try to make some amalgamous body that is somehow both of these necessary male and female expressions. Let's see what these two kingdom works must be and are. The body of Christ is rather clear, isn't it? Basically, it's Christianity. Christianity is Yeshua's body here on earth. The more difficult to discern is the bride. But knowing what we know, let's see what we can learn. First, since the body is Christianity, or Christian, it is only to be expected that the bride, though still a part of the church, will be called by another name. Adam gave his bride a separate name, and it's only to be expected that the bride of Yeshua will have a separate name. The bride will not be called Christian. There can't be two separate works called by the same name. They're different, and they have separate names, just like Adam and Eve, just like the two separate trees. I just said both of these works are the church, and they are. But we have seen nothing but Christianity for so long, for nearly 2,000 years, that we have come to think that Christianity is all there is in the kingdom of God, or the church. But when the church began, keep in mind, those first believers were not called Christian. They were called the Way. The name Christian, appropriately, did not apply to the church until Paul's work in Antioch. That's where they were first called Christians, not at the beginning. Let's try to understand this better, okay? Have you ever heard someone quote the scripture in reference to the church? Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says Yahweh of hosts. Do you happen to know what that particular phrase was describing? Let me try to draw you a picture of what it was referring to. Picture in your mind, if you would, a lampstand with seven branches on it. And on both sides of this lampstand are olive trees, one on the right and one on the left. What do we have here in this picture? The work that is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. In other words, the church that is built by His Spirit. So has anybody ever tried to explain to you the church in these terms? No, because everyone has had the same problem of seeing the church as being only Christianity. But we see here once again that clearly the church is more than just Christianity. It is a lampstand and two olive trees. What do we have here then? Let me tell you. The seven-branched lampstand is Christianity. This is seen in Revelation, where the same lampstand is obviously the church. But what are these two olive tree works, one at the beginning of the church and one at the end? Well, Zechariah had the same question, so he asked the angel what they were and was told that they were this. The angel said that they were the two sons of fresh oil. So what are the two sons of fresh oil in the church? One located at its beginning and one located at its end. These are the two sons of fresh oil, or the fresh oil outpourings of the Spirit of God upon the church. They are the former rain and the latter rain, one at the beginning, one at the end. These are the two outpourings of the Spirit that form the two olive tree works. The former rain we've already seen. It came on the day of Pentecost. The latter rain is only now beginning to take place. The former rain came at the end of Yeshua's time here on earth. The latter rain prepares for His return. Thus we see that the body of Christ is the lampstand work, sandwiched between the two unique outpourings of the Spirit. The bride is the two olive tree works. Do you remember that Jacob had two brides obtained by working two periods of 7 years, the same number of branches on that lampstand? Just like Joseph had two brides, Yeshua's bride is two parts, or two brides. The first bride, or first part, is formed by the former rain. The second bride, or second part, is formed by the latter rain. The two-part work produces the two-part bride, the bride of Yeshua. We see the same bride work and even the sleeping body at the Mount of Transfiguration. Let's explain the identical pattern that we see here in Zechariah. Picture Yeshua standing on the mount, while on his left and on his right are the two olive tree representatives, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah are equally the two-part bride that will be glorified with Yeshua at the time of His return. He'll return with His bride. What happened to this first bride? Like Moses, she had to die in order to enter into the promised land later. The first work under the former reign had to die, many of them as martyrs. This isn't true with the second part bride. She is the work that prepares the way for the return of Yeshua, and as such, she is the Elijah that ascends alive. Thus we see more information about the church, and particularly these two parts that compose the bride work. So where is the body in this prophetic testimony? Well, exactly where the body ought to be when a bride comes out of it. And that's sleeping. While the two bride parts, the Moses and the Elijah, were being glorified with Yeshua, Peter, James, and John were sleeping. Thus we see again that the body is put to sleep, while the bride is called out, and here caught up to heaven to be with Yeshua to receive His glory. These are the two parts of the kingdom once again, the glorified Moses and Elijah bride, and the sleeping body, the body of Christ. Reflect for a minute where the vast majority of the body of Christ is. Paul said that when men die, they sleep. So is it any wonder that with the vast majority of Christians asleep in the grave, that a bride that comes out of a sleeping body? That doesn't mean that this latter rain bride comes literally from the grave, though. The first bride, the first part bride, comes from the grave. But remember, the second part bride is an Elijah that does not suffer death. In fact, that's a very important point about this second work. They don't suffer death. In fact, they must be the first to defeat death. As testified by 2,000 years of Christianity, the body is most certainly sleeping. For many reasons, it is now time to bring out a bride. What I've shared with you is only a brief introduction. There's so much more. Let me invite you to get on the internet and go to www.garynaylor.com. That's GARYNALER. And read some of the writings on this remnant bride. In fact, that's the name of the site, The Remnant Bride. There you'll find the book coverings and many, many other writings. I appreciate this opportunity to introduce to you these marvelous and most exciting truths. And if your heart is stirred, I invite you to read more of the Remnant Bride website. Also, our email address, as well as our physical address and our telephone number, are located there. If you want to get in touch with us, I'll give you our telephone number now. It's 360-825-9337. If you have any questions, give us a call. This is Gary Naylor. On behalf of the Remnant Bride, we invite you to come out of the body and to make yourself ready as His bride. May Yahweh bless you.